Peebles said, "Why, no." Her jaw continued to work wordlessly, searching for a scream as she took in the distorted faces. Little was looking past her at an empty hallway. The groundskeeper and the cook were home, snug in bed. This polite inquiry at the door was a last-minute check to make sure that there were no unexpected guests. Seeing no one, Little stepped back and snapped, "Go!" Big went through the door fast, one arm flashing in the interior light. Big was carrying a 2-foot-long steel gas pipe with gaffer tape wrapped around the handle end. Peebles didn't scream because she didn't have time. Her eyes widened, her mouth dropped open, one hand started up, and then Big hit her on the crown of her head, crushing her skull. The old woman dropped like a sack of bones. Big hit her again as insurance, and then a third time as insurance on the insurance. 3 heavy floor-shaking impacts. Whack! 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 Then a voice from up the stairs, tentative, shaky. "Sugar? Who was it, Sugar?" Big's head turned toward the stairs, and Little could hear him breathing. Big slipped out of his loafers and hurried up the stairs in his stocking feet, a man on the hunt. Little stepped up the hall, grabbed a corner of a 7-foot-long Persian carpet and dragged it back to the black woman's body. And from upstairs, 3 more impacts, a gasping, thready scream, and whack, whack, whack. Little smiled. Murder. And the insurance. Little stooped, caught the sleeve of Peebles's house coat, and rolled her onto the carpet. Breathing a little harder, Little began dragging the carpet toward an interior hallway that ran down to the kitchen, where it'd be out of sight of any of the windows. A pencil-thin line of blood, like a slug's trail, tracked the rug across the hardwood floor. Peebles's face had gone slack. Her eyes were still open, the eyeballs rolled up, white against her black face. Too bad about the rug, Little thought. Chinese, the original dark blue gone pale, maybe 1890. Not a great rug, but a good one. Of course, it'd need a good cleaning now, with the blood puddle under Peebles's head. Outside, there'd been no sound of murder. No screams or gunshots audible on the street. A window lit up on Oak Walk's second floor, then another on the third floor, and yet another on the first floor, in the back, in the butler's pantry. Big and Little checking out the house, making sure that they were the only living creatures inside. When they knew that the house was clear, Big and Little met at the bottom of the staircase. Big's mouth under the nylon was a bloody O. He'd chewed into his bottom lip while killing the old woman upstairs, something he did when the frenzy was on him. He was carrying a jewelry box, and one hand was closed in a fist. "You won't believe this," he said. "She had it around her neck." He opened his fist. His hands were covered with latex kitchen gloves to show off a diamond the size of a quail's egg. "Is it real?" "It's real, and it's blue. We're not talking Boxsters anymore. We're talking SLs." Big opened the box. "There's more. Earrings. A necklace. There could be a 500,000 right here." "Can Fleckstein handle it?" Big snorted. "Fleckstein's so dirty that he wouldn't recognize the Mona Lisa. He'll handle it." He pushed the jewelry at Little, started to turn, caught sight of Peebles lying on the rug. "Bitch," he said, the word grating through his teeth. "Bitch." In a second, in 3 long steps, he was on her again, beating the dead woman with the pipe, heavy impacts shaking the floor. Little went after him, catching him after the first 3 impacts, pulling him away, voice hard. "She's gone, for Christ's sakes! She's gone! She's gone!" "Fucker," Big said. "Piece of shit." Little thought sometimes that Big should have a bolt through his neck. Big stopped and straightened, looked down at Peebles, muttered, "She's gone." He shuddered and said, "Gone." Then he turned to Little, blood in his eye, hefting the pipe. Little's hands came up. "No, no, it's me! It's me!"